Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Andrew David James, only on LA Talk Radio.
That you would be on this beautiful, beautiful January 4th.
That's right. Excited to start a new year, yeah, and bring in our first two guests of 2018.
First two guests.
Doesn't that sound like the future a little bit?
And a new sponsor.
That's right. A great new sponsor,
yes,
yeah.
We will pay tribute to them in just a few minutes.
No doubt about it. Who do we have here today with us, Michael?
Well, Andrew, we have a fantastic show today. We are joined by two gentlemen that will be telling us all about the Foundation for New American Musicals, Third Monday's premiere series of performances, the first one being January 15th at Sterling's Upstairs.
That's
at
right.
The Fedro. Please welcome
<How convenient. laughs>
Michael Donovan and Hello. Kevin Bailey.
Hey.
Yeah.
Great to be here.
Welcome, guys. Yeah. Welcome.
I didn't know we were your first guests of the year.
Oh, yeah. 2018. We don't mess around with our bookings, man. We wait for the perfect people to come around. It was you two.
So. Right. We're going to set the bar high.
That's right. What a great project to start out by talking about, because this is not only, I mean, this is philanthropic in so many ways, right, but it's artistically based in such a great way. This is going to be a lot of fun to start out the new year with.
Great.
You bet.
No doubt.
And we will talk more with our guests here in a few minutes, but I want to talk to you, Andrew, about your week since I haven't seen you. So how was I did see you on December 30th.
You want to hear about my week?
Yeah.
With these two interesting dudes sitting here, you want to hear about me?
Yeah, I want to know what you've been up to.
I'll be happy to tell you. This has been a cool start to the new year, right? Did you have a good celebration?
For Christmas?
New Year's, right? Because I saw you just after Christmas, and you had a little bit of a rough Christmas, but you were headed towards hopefully a good New Year's, yeah?
Yeah. We had two wonderful shows with John Lloyd Young, sold-out
That's
shows
right.
John Lloyd Young at Sterling. And you were there at one of them.
That's right, and loved it.
And it was great fun, but you know, a 12-hour day for me, that's kind of hard. My young age. But it was, John was amazing. He's the one that had the work to do, but that was fun. And then New Year's Day turned out to be pretty nice. You know, went out to a nice dinner the night before New Year's Eve, and traditional Chinese food is what we do, so... And what about you?
Very cool. Well, we actually had an interesting experience. I took the kids out for what was supposed to be a 40-minute visit to a party. And my darn kids, for the one time in the year, were being so good, I let them stay for the entire 4.5-hour party.
And so they saw
midnight come in, right? It's a New Year's Eve party. So they saw midnight come in, and then I paid for it the next day. They woke up at like 10, and they thought they were full-fledged adults now. They're like, hey, look, we've seen the new year. We're going to do whatever we want all day long. So we slowly came down from the new year, but it was a very happy new year, and it was fun to see the excitement of what's new in those kids' eyes. That was cool.
Did you actually watch the ball drop in New York?
In fact,
on TV?
Watched it in New York, and then we watched it again when they replayed it.
I have a question for all of you. If all of you saw that, and I did not see the entire thing, what I happened to see, or had the misfortune to see, was a performance coming from Las Vegas by Britney Spears.
Wow, I didn't see that.
Yeah.
Wow.
What is up with that girl? Does she eat?
I think that's
a
question
like
for the ages, man.
Stage left was her stage, right was she. Her choreography was all over the place. I mean, she was throwing herself on the floor. Is that the usual?
The show was a big hit.
I know.
Wow.
I know.
Wow.
But
rabid fans.
I saw Neil Diamond.
Oh,
Neil Diamond, I didn't realize I think he's 78 now or 76, something like that. And he still sounds exactly the same.
Amazing
I was
voice.
Blown away by that. Yeah.
Amazing
I was blown
voice.
Away by that.
Yeah.
So, there were some interesting performances. I think there was a, was it Mariah Carey who
Mariah
demanded her
from
tea?
New York, yeah.
Yeah, which was, I thought that was a very funny moment. I thought,
well,
my goodness.
You promised me tea.
That's
where's
right.
my tea? I'm
oh,
just like,
that's
oh,
right.
So I just started walking around LA shouting, where's my tea? Just hoping maybe somebody will bring it.
She's
it was like 0 degrees. I mean, come on.
Right. No, absolutely. Absolutely. But it was funny because I thought that was, I mean, it was so frigid out there.
Yeah.
But I kind of thought, listen, if 78-year-old Neil Diamond can stand up and do his job without demanding tea, maybe you could wait till you get off stage. I don't know.
She looked great. I thought she sounded
she
great.
She sounded beautiful, didn't
really,
she?
I mean,
she sounded great.
She sang two songs, I understand, right?
She's great.
Yeah. It was interesting to watch because you saw how many people still love to be in Times Square. I've reached the age in my life where I'm like, are there going to be more than 10 people there? Then I'm not going. I'd like a little space, a little quiet, a little peace. But man, I mean, New Year's Eve in Times Square, what a fun place to be still.
Yeah, but you have to get there and stand there for like
can't
8 hours.
Do it. I can't do it, Mike.
They were not even letting people take in umbrellas for security purposes.
And you could see even from the aerial shot how they had brilliantly, for safety's sake, cordoned off the various blocks. No. So as opposed to just being a mass of millions, it's now very structured. I mean, they did a brilliant job, but you do have to... You know, you have to check in at like noon, and just like okay, as you said, the 12-hour day, you're going to be there for 12 hours if
and
you want.
What about like bathrooms? I'm just
well, there must be porta potties everywhere.
You can't leave. There are. Apparently, you can't leave your spot.
Yeah. But really?
Yeah.
Oh my.
Yeah. I think you're right. I think you definitely need to gauge your early evening activities to make sure that you're good for that. Because
of course,
man,
Ryan Seacrest was
atmosphere.
in a building quite warm. Right? Was he for the whole time?
No, he was out. I mean, he was out on the street.
He was in and out.
Yeah.
You know, I had occasion to work with him a few years ago before he kind of hit big on American Idol, and it was so strange because he prepares so well. Like, he really, I mean, this was just like a little TNT project we were doing called Ultimate Revenge, and he came in and he knew where he was going to hit his mark all the time. It was all methodically planned, but he also adjusted very well. It's kind of the perfect fit to take over that Dick Clark's New Year's
Eve.
He's
a smart cookie. Yeah. I mean, you know, he knows what he's doing and how to get it. So.
Yeah, that was interesting to watch. So, well, Michael, obviously we will talk more with our guest here in just a moment, but before we do that, Michael, we should thank our sponsors, we'll start by welcoming in for the amazing new year.
What'd that cost us?
Right, we'll be paying for that for years. A brand new sponsor, right? I mean,
this is someone
who we're really excited to begin a fruitful relationship with.
We would like to thank Princess Cruises for coming on board as presenting sponsor for State of the Arts during 2018, a pioneer in excellence on the high seas for meaningful travelers who seek enriching experiences. Only Princess Cruises offers cruise vacations to help you come back new, providing fresh perspectives by connecting you with nature, culture, and loved ones in a new way.
One of the best-known names in cruising, Princess Cruises first set sail in 1965 with a single ship cruising to Mexico. Today, the line has grown to become the third largest cruise line in the world, renowned for innovative ships, an array of onboard options, including extravagant entertainment and an environment of exceptional customer service. A recognized leader in the worldwide cruising industry, Princess carries approximately 1.7 million guests each year to more than 360 destinations worldwide aboard a fleet of 18 modern vessels.
Pretty sweet.
We'd also
like to acknowledge our supporting sponsor, PerformingArtsLive.com, one of the Internet's most prominent listing sources for the live arts in Southern California. We're grateful to Performing Arts Live for lending their support to State of the Arts, as we are and as they have been doing since for 7 years.
Two great sponsors. Let's give them a hand. And obviously, those people, both Performing Arts Live and Princess Cruises, do this for the love of the arts. They support State of the Arts because they love what goes on in the arts and what it brings to people. And we're going to talk a little more about that in just a little bit, aren't we, Michael?
Yes, we are, indeed.
So obviously, that's a great resource with Performing Arts Live, and there's a lot of great things going on. Michael, speaking of great things, can you tell me a little bit about your theatrical week? Did you go see anything new?
You know, I did not. I'm getting ready to open Million Dollar Quartet for 3D Theatricals, and boy, that came just, you know, punching in right at the new year.
And right after John Lloyd Young, which is a huge... You guys did two shows for John this year.
Yeah, on the same day. So I am jumping into that project. Happily, it's going to be a great show, but it will be up and running in February and March at the Redondo Beach Performing Arts Center is where we open, and then we bicycle over to the Cerritos Center for the Performing Arts for a second engagement.
Yeah.
And, of course, as we've announced on this program before, 3D Theatricals has now become the resident Broadway producing company for Cerritos Center for the Performing Arts.
And well-deserved. They absolutely are Broadway here close to us. That's an amazing thing.
They are indeed. And you, sir?
Well, obviously, I mean, you and I got to see each other just before the new year. You're very kind to invite us out to come see John, and you asked me what I thought.
Yes,
why did
I
you
did.
Ask me what I thought? Nobody cares what I think, dude.
Of course they do.
Come on, man.
Of course
Well, I'll tell you what I thought because, you know, I mean, you and I have gotten close enough over the years where I'll tell you if I don't like something. And I sat there and I listened to John, and I was just in awe. I'll tell you just a little bit in a little more formal setting here, but first and foremost, John Lloyd Young is a performer that if you have a chance to go see him now. He's a Tony Award winner, but more than that, man, he cares about his audiences so much. He takes the time to stop and talk to everyone to make sure that everybody there feels
welcome. 2 hours after his performance, a meet and greet. 2 hours, he talks to every person. He
wow.
has gotten so good at it that he knows the names of their children. He asks, yeah. Everything he asks about them. It's not them talking to him.
Yeah.
How sweet.
So he
that
does.
Great.
And I work with John Watts. He's a lovely guy.
He's happy to do it.
It's good because I walked around and asked everybody about me afterwards, and they didn't have much to say. It was very strange.
They said, forget about it.
Set in the heart of the NoHo Arts District in the unimposingly chic cabaret space of Sterling's upstairs at the Federal, and paired with the delicious food and unparalleled mixology of the Federal Bar and Grill, John Lloyd Young performs his compilation show by day and by night. With William Tell-esque pitch accuracy, the Tony Award-winning performer delivers a performance that gives new persons and resonance to the classic melodies. John possesses the unique ability to transport his listeners individually and collectively back to music's golden era with songs like Hurt So Bad, Can't Take My Eyes Off of You, and Sherry. With his uncanny ability to connect to his audience and individualize some of his most well-known hits of the last 50 years, John Lloyd Young is a performer you'll truly enjoy getting to know. Most significantly, though, is his collaboration with his musical director extraordinaire, Tommy Farragher.
Yes.
Correct, Farragher?
Mm-hmm.
Boy, he was something special to listen to on the piano, man. And he brings forth with him an evening of melodic serenity and epic fun not to be missed. And Michael, if that's not the truth, I don't know what is. Everybody there left having so much fun, didn't they?
Yes, they did.
Cool.
Well, those ladies and a few gentlemen.
Yeah. I was one of, I think, three. Yeah.
Very loyal to him.
He definitely appeals to a certain age group of women who are dedicated to him. And will travel the country to see him. And there's a reason why.
They do travel the country. They come in from all parts of the world.
And they're friends, too. Most of those people that were there know each other from these events.
And it's interesting. They don't know John from Broadway. They know him from the movie.
Isn't that interesting?
I mean, the nucleus of them who fly in. People fly in from South America, from London, from Tokyo, to be at this type of a performance at my venue because it's the closest they're ever going to get to him.
The intimacy is second to none, right?
Yeah. So, and he's got a high cover charge, which I was concerned about when originally I started, but my goodness, I think we could probably double it, and it would still not dismiss anybody from coming, you know. They would come because they love the guy.
Well, it's obviously, it's an event in that everybody there is dressed to the nines, these women and the men, of course, too, but all look so great. They all come out, and they make a night of it like they're stepping into a time machine to go back and watch Frankie Valli or watch some of these great Motown acts to just take their audiences on a trip.
Well, he has shied away from all the Frankie Valli stuff. He does do a couple of songs, as you heard, as you mentioned, but he likes to do that era.
Absolutely.
He likes to give them fresh arrangements. So that's the exciting part. He's got, you know, all different kinds of shows that he brings in.
And he had two different set lists this time. The one we saw was from the CD, which was all very similar stuff to that sort of
thing.
He
did the whole CD from beginning to end.
The second show, did it include any of his original works? I know he does those on occasion, too.
It did. It was a whole different show.
And those are brilliant to listen to. Obviously, what he's known for is Jersey Boys, and I think a lot of people still associate that with him. But it's so fun to listen to him and find out what he's doing as he brings a fresh voice and delivers it to people in a way that honestly transports them out of their lives, which is what music should do.
He has some material. He sings in Mandarin.
Mm-hmm.
And he sings in Portuguese.
Really?
Wow. And it's all things that
which
are
is interesting because I can't spell Portuguese. So it all works out nicely. He covers the hard part.
Well, there you go.
So you recovered from both of those, and did John recover as well?
Yes, I think he did.
Good.
Yeah.
Well, that was a lot of fun, and
we
I think
had lunch during that time period. So a long 3-hour lunch.
Wow! That's my kind of lunch, man. Although I don't usually get up and do anything after those kind of lunches. Obviously, John's a friend of the show, and congrats to him on a great ending for the old year and a great springboard into the new one.
Absolutely. That's for you, John.
Absolutely.
Shall we get into it?
Let's do it.
I think so. Ladies and gentlemen, our first guest is the recipient of 6 Artios Awards and is a current nominee for 2 others for Outstanding Achievement in Casting. He has cast shows produced at the Amundsen Theater, the Hollywood Bowl, Pasadena Playhouse, Kirk Douglas Theater, Walt Disney Concert Hall, the Geffen, International City Theater, La Jolla Playhouse, and many other world-class venues.
He is currently casting and co-producing a new musical about Marilyn Monroe, set to open in Las Vegas this April. His credits also include numerous films, over 1,000 commercials, and multiple TV series. He serves on the boards of Reprise 2.0, where he is the co-artistic director, the Foundation for New American Musicals, and Camp Bravo, and also teaches at UCLA.
But he's here today to talk about his remarkable career and his current project with the Foundation for New Musicals, the premier performance of Third Mondays, January 15th at Sterling's Upstairs at the Federal, where Broadway legends and emerging artists perform musical theater songs from yesterday, today, and tomorrow. So please welcome Michael Donovan. Michael.
Welcome.
After that, I should be tired.
As a former performer, you got to be used to those people just applauding for you everywhere you go, though. Isn't that nice to have? Every time you read something about you, you get to hear all that applause. I love that.
I don't know.
I want to take it with me everywhere I go. Just have it in my pocket.
Glad Michael, to be here, guys. Thank you so much.
This Marilyn Monroe project, you got to tell me, what do I have to do to play Marilyn Monroe? I think I've got the hair for it. There's a few things that I may have to adjust.
Just a little bit.
Where did this come from? What a cool project.
We can't talk a whole lot about it yet, because it's. But it'd be officially announced probably this week, but look for spring in Las Vegas. It's kind of a big deal. It's
any place people can go to find out and keep an eye on that? Social media, maybe?
Social media.
All right.
Will be released there, yeah. Tegan Sommer, who you probably know. Tegan is
of course.
His baby, and he's been developing it for a couple of years.
He's such an elegant man.
Isn't he?
Yes,
And so he made this happen, and it's very exciting. So, but we should be announcing very, very soon.
They had an evening at the Alex Theater,
yes,
wasn't it, sometime last year?
Yeah, the summer of 2016, and we did two presentations in Vegas this year to kind of show it. And there was a great deal of interest, and actually Kevin was in one of the presentations.
Really?
Yeah. Exactly.
Playing Marilyn? No?
Playing Marilyn.
No, I also did not somehow manage to
talk about range. I know, right?
Really
keep
fighting.
So typecast, you and I. It's unbelievable. It's amazing that she still moves the needle so much after so many years.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it really is.
She's the number one selling memorabilia person. Her demographics are 18 to 30. That's her
thing.
It's crazy.
That
is
crazy.
Yeah, and she's just everywhere still.
The mystery of Marilyn Monroe, for sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So many shows out there, too. I've seen some of them that are pretty good one-person shows about her.
Yeah, this is very different. Yeah. Very different.
So, yeah, I'm excited to see that.
Thank you. Me too.
But that's not the only thing you have going on. In fact, one of our favorite venues, Sterling's Upstairs at the Federal, has something that's coming there. Can you tell me a little bit about this?
Sure. It's called Third Mondays, and basically it's a benefit performance for the Foundation for New American Musicals. We are an organization that
Michael, I'm going to go ahead and stop you. When I said tell me a little bit about it, I meant am I in it?
Oh, got it.
Should I expect a paycheck from this?
No.
I never get cast in things I don't audition for anymore. It's so
bizarre.
Weird.
Actually, Kevin didn't audition. You didn't.
Unbelievable.
You know, and
yeah,
I must have paid my dues somewhere, I'm sure.
Over and over and over again.
Now, Third Mondays, where does that come from? The name comes from where?
Basically, the idea was Mondays are dark. All performers are available on
Across
Mondays
theater
as
cities.
A rule, right?
Yeah.
Actually came from Tegan's idea because he'd seen it in Las Vegas and thought, why can't we do it here? And then we thought, well, Third Mondays just kind of sounded like fun. So we're doing it every month on the third Monday of the month at your beautiful venue, Michael, which we're delighted to be. I'm so happy that you're so enthusiastic about doing it there.
Oh, yeah.
And because Michael's just a wonderful supporter of the arts. No, I mean that sincerely. So
it's very true.
So this is it's going to be five performers, and each performer will sing a song from Broadway's past, a song from Broadway's present, and a song from Broadway's future. So Broadway past could be something that inspired them, a role they play, whatever they want to do. Something currently on Broadway, I'm open to whatever that might be.
Cool.
And then the third one will be from one of the many shows that the Foundation for New American Musicals has helped me to develop and nurture and, you know, promote. And that's what we're all about. Basically, it's, you know, finding those new composers, lyricists, librettists, all those people who are, you know, writing this amazing new work and finding a way to get it out there.
So, Michael, you being the casting aficionado that you are, how do you go about casting a show like this? What is the requirements or the premise?
We pay him a lot of money.
That's it.
Find us the best.
The checks are good. The cash is great. No, I mean, pretty much I'm pulling from my own head here. Yeah. People that is who I just love, people I think are incredibly talented. And I wanted to do a mix of people who are, you know, long-established people, and then also show, as since it's all about supporting new talent,
yeah,
is to show you some emerging new talent. And there's one girl on this list particularly who's just amazing. So
we have Heather Ayers, and of course our guest Kevin Bailey, Yvette Kasson.
Kasson,
mm-hmm. Jonah Platt, good friend, and Tiana Okoye. Okoye.
Heather just did Groundhog Day on Broadway.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin will promote himself here. Yvette, you will know from all kinds of things, including if you go to Pasadena Playhouse a lot, she did a bunch of shows there. Dreamgirls, the movie. She was Beyonce's mother. She just did Shout, Sister, Shout. She's extraordinarily talented.
Well, and these each performer sings three songs. You
three
said
songs.
One from the past, present, and future. Mm-hmm. And where do you said that the foundation does new musicals and stuff? How do they decide on their material for the future piece?
There are several different organizations that exist under the banner of the foundation, and so those new pieces come from any one of those sources. One of the main ones is a fun one anyway. Is Show Search. Show Search is this, we do a contest where high school students and college students submit a 10-minute musical. Not 10 minutes from a musical, but a 10-minute musical.
Wow.
And then they submit, and the finalists are brought to Los Angeles, where they get a professional presentation of their musical, cast by me, directed by Richard Israel, and judged by some pretty amazing judges. We've had Joel Grey, all kinds of people who have judged these, and then they win a cash prize, and then we help promote the winners of those contests.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Obviously a great step in your career and a cash prize as
right.
well. That's wonderful.
And just high school kids. I mean, how do they ever get a chance to have something like this?
In front of eyes like those.
Oh,
you're
God.
Right. That's
yeah.
amazing. Now, where can people, young writers, go to find that if they want to learn
go
more
to the
about
website.
It?
Go okay. to the Foundation for New American Musicals website.
Yeah. Again, that's the Foundation for New American Musicals. And the easiest way to just go ahead and Google that, and it'll pop up. The banner, of course, is very colorful and easy to find.
Yes.
Blue, red, and yellow.
Yeah.
And young playwrights, but also young performers, people
yes.
who are looking for other material and looking to find out more
yes.
about what's coming up soon. What a great resource for them.
Yeah. There's another organization called Musical that we do with that. What's it called?
Rockwell.
That was lost mm-hmm. it for a second. The Rockwell. And these are all people who are singing from various shows that are brand new. And some are like about to be professionally mm-hmm. produced. Some are just starting. And so it's a great chance for performers to get up there and show some new work, too.
That's fantastic.
Yep.
So you're keeping the arts alive in a very refreshing and fresh kind
yes,
of way.
It's exciting.
With all of, yeah, very
yeah.
exciting. Cool. And there's so, you know, I would say that when I started the supper club business, which was in 2006 when Michael mm-hmm. Feinstein's club at the Roosevelt went down mm-hmm. after 2 years, that's when I said, okay, I'm going in. I'm doing this now. Because this was, as you guys know, I think you know, that my mentor in my lifetime was Rosemary Clooney. She taught me everything I know about music. I road managed her. We were lifelong friends. And I promised her that I would keep her music alive and that of her contemporaries,
mm-hmm.
meaning the Great American Songbook
sure.
and the music of Broadway, because that's where so many of them got their material from, when Broadway was serving that purpose during that time period. And she just said to me, she said, don't forget you said that, because it'll take, you know, this music, you know, to a new generation and hopefully then another generation and keep going. So that's what I've done. But the point is, once I brought this back, and I don't say that from a vanity standpoint, mm-hmm. because Michael's Club was wonderful, it just didn't happen after 2 years. All of these other places started to pop up.
Mm-hmm.
And there was one original place that's been around for 30 years, Gardenia.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
And I must say, we pay our respects to the late Tom Rowland, who owned the club and just recently passed away.
Of course.
Out of nowhere. So God bless him for keeping those doors open, and they remain open. But it started kind of a resurgence, you know, the one club popping up here. Some of them didn't make it, but Rockwell is certainly certainly been one of those, and is still around in my place. And the Gardenia has a very special following. And I think Musical Mondays is at another location. I can't remember exactly where that is in West Hollywood, but, you know, it's somewhere else. But it's happening. So music is everywhere. And we always are advocates on this show for putting the remote down and getting away from your television set. And
thank you.
the phones out of your hands. Entertainment. Right. What a concept.
See something that moves you in a different kind of way.
That's right.
And the beauty, of course, of this kind of art is that you will never see the same performance twice.
Exactly. Yeah. That's true.
So,
and these are all people who are theater rats. You know, these are people who... Jonah Platt just did a year in Wicked on Broadway.
So fun, yeah.
Tiana is this other girl that I mentioned. Let's see. Tiana is the first black. How am I going to get this right? I want to make sure I have this all right. I did my notes and I forgot. She's the first black Judy in Chorus Line. She's the first black Carrie in Carrie. And she's the first black Elsa in Frozen.
Unbelievable.
So wow. She's breaking barriers everywhere.
Wow, so. That's great.
Sweet. Yeah. I can't wait to see them all.
Yeah. Kevin Bailey sucks, but everybody else sucks.
Oh!
We're going to give him a minute to refute that here in a minute. Be careful, you're sitting right next to him.
One of the things
so cool about this is that this is a chance to hand the arts down to the next generation as well. Because talking about the future of Broadway, there's so many things going on. I think they're doing a Mean Girls musical and, you know, all kinds of stuff coming up that appeals to the next generation. But if you haven't educated them properly, then we have some sorry years ahead. This is what we need to do. We need to say this is what Broadway was. This is where it is now, and this is where you can take it, which is such a cool and important thing, especially for young playwrights who walk into this world and think, okay, how much do I balance marketability with film, with my soul that theater does such a good job of catering to? And if you can't take both of those and meld them and get a good product like has been done so well recently, I think, of course, of Hamilton, which has changed the way the world looks at theater, you know, we have a chance to push that envelope and bring qualified people who really have a good base in Broadway's past to accelerate the future and launch it forward.
I think that's why I so love the first word of this organization, foundation. Mm-hmm. And it's not just for foundation for funding, but foundation for that which went before, the basis of something. And, you know, bringing existing professionals to the new young kids that are up and coming across the spectrum is what makes this so unique an organization vital to have.
Yeah.
How long has the organization been in existence?
Oh, I should know that, and I don't.
Say a number. Nobody's going to check,
it's
man.
It's a long time.
Or just slur your response.
I'm sorry. We have a fire engine going by at this moment, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, I've been on the board for... at least 5 years.
Wow.
I know it existed well before that. So, so
and this organization is not only based in L.A., as you said a little bit earlier. It's all over the country, correct?
Well, it's based in L.A., but we do other things in New York and other places,
and Las Vegas as well, correct?
It's not really connected to the Vegas things. But we are developing also a program. There isn't anything right now, there isn't much anyway, that teaches you how to write for musical theater.
Wow.
I think there's only one program in the country right now, which I think Michigan has it, if I'm not mistaken.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So we are hoping to develop that. We're working with Santa Monica College, USC, and UCLA,
great,
develop a program that will work with all three colleges to get a degree in musical theater writing.
That's amazing.
It sounds natural, and I'm surprised it hasn't.
Right.
Playwriting MFAs exist.
Of course.
To write plays, but not.
Yeah.
I graduated with a degree in composition far too many years ago when I left, and I thought, okay, well, now I'm going to go write. And you realize there were no resources, and of course, the internet was young at that time, and it wasn't, you know, in fact, most of what you found was scams. And I luckily found a publisher who was very good and helped guide me through it and that sort of thing. But those sort of resources for young people who have the energy and the time to sit down and write musicals, which does take so much time and so much resources. Rob Blaney, who did the compositions for my Frieza Kennedy Center Award, he did the compositions for the first musical I wrote. And when I saw him, I realized how much talent he had and what he could bring to it. It's a collaborative effort, unlike screenwriting very often, which is in a room by yourself. So I think a program like that would teach that collaboration in such a positive way that's so necessary.
There's also such a resurgence in the musical. We're talking about the live shows that are being done on television. There's how many have we done now? Hairspray and the Christmas Story.
Sound of Music.
So there is a real new interest. It's not just for the theater.
And then there was Peter Pan.
La La Land. Anyway, you know, well, Well, they tried. But so there's a whole new wave that's coming in, and there's a whole bunch of new young people who are embracing the musical.
What a great thing that
is.
Fantastic. Absolutely.
That's what we need.
Absolutely.
So.
Yep. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Michael Donovan, who, of course, cast everything you see on television, film, or stage around Los Angeles. You can't go anywhere without seeing his fingerprints in such a positive way. Before we let you go and talk to this handsome gentleman next to you, I want to ask a question for all the young performers listening out there. When somebody walks into your room, and obviously I think as we walk through our careers, we realize the best thing you can do is be yourself when you walk into a room.
Yes.
But what's the one thing that you want to see from a performer that you see a lot of them not deliver right now?
Being prepared. It's probably the biggest mistake people make. They think they can wing it.
Right.
It's, you know, after you've been doing this a while, we recognize winging. And there are some people who are brilliant enough to get away with it. But
once or twice.
Once or twice, exactly.
Yeah, you're right.
Being prepared is what it's all about, because you're going to relax, so we are going to relax.
That's so true.
And it's also, you honored the process. Mm-hmm. You are competing against thousands and thousands of people who were submitted for this project. You were given this incredible privilege to get this audition, and you didn't do the work for it?
Yeah.
It's sort of like, really, then you don't really deserve to have it. It's really the bottom line.
And you and I have been in rooms occasionally where we've seen young performers. I'm thinking of the great friend of the show, Danny Bellucci, who went from essentially an adolescent performer to a full-grown man ready to carry a show if he needed to in a moment's notice, kind of, with LA's next great stage star.
He's currently being featured down at in Costa Mesa, at the South Coast Repertory, for his second show in a row there with them.
Great.
Did you know that?
Yeah, I didn't know
that.
And it's interesting to me, because I think that what people don't understand about your job, and that is one of the hardest parts about your job, is that when people go into casting directing, their job is not only to find new talent. That's important. But you have to hand someone to a producer or director who will take as good a care of the show that they're doing as you want them to. And if you have a performer who's reckless or takes havoc into their lives, it's going to compromise the show, and that hurts your reputation. And that was one of the things that I think really hit me as a father, when you realize that everybody connected to a show, it's like everybody connected to a family. You have to hand that off like a pearl that you're not going to drop. And if you give it to somebody who's not prepared when they walk in the room, it can be dangerous for everybody involved and compromise the project ultimately.
Well, I must say, Michael, your diligence and the time that you give of yourself to these causes, and including something that I've produced for the past 11 years, coming into 12, LA's Next Great Stage Star. You've been there from the beginning, and you have helped so many of those contestants make that move on to a higher plane.
Yep.
You just mentioned Daniel Bellucci,
right,
but there's been many others before.
He's so talented.
Dear Daniel, yes, he is, and so sweet. And
Mary
so
Zastrow,
innocent.
One of my favorites, was there this year as well.
She's fantastic. There was so much great talent there, and there's always great talent. And it takes the Michael Donovans of the world and his colleagues and the agents in our business here in Los Angeles and James Mellon and Kevin Bailey to all, everybody is for the good of you know what we all believe in, which is our favorite thing, musical theater and theater in general.
Live performance,
so
absolutely.
Thank you for that, for
thank
all
you
of those
for
years.
That. Yeah.
Now, Michael, will you be so kind as to stick around while we talk to this good-looking dude next to you?
Yeah, he is good-looking.
Let's bring him in. Let's bring him in. Our next guest is an L.A.-based actor and producer on Broadway and in Los Angeles. He played Scar in the original Company of the Lion King and appeared as Sitting Bull in Broadway's Annie, Get Your Gun.
Off-Broadway, he appeared as Warpole in The Doctor's Dilemma and Demetrius in A Midsummer Night's Dream. National tour credits include Pilot in Jesus Christ Superstar, Star and El Gallo in The Fantastics.
Recent West Coast credits include his role in God Looked Away, starring Al Pacino, The Devil in L.A., premiere of Abigail 1702, and three seasons as The Grinch at the Old Globe with North Coast Rep. He made appearances as Sam in Gunmetal Blues and as Caleb in The Spitfire Grill. Other regional credits include Too Many to Count, but, of course, his Ovation-nominated performances as the engineer in Miss Saigon and Frank Butler in Annie, Get Your Gun, and, of course, the title role from Jekyll and Hyde.
As a producer, He served at the as the above titled executive producer for the Broadway play Anne. In their 25-year history, his company, MB Artists, has created and general managed over 50 theatrical productions, including the Greater Tuna cycle of plays, three films, and dozens of industrials. He's here today to talk about his upcoming premiere performance of Third Mondays with the Foundation for New Musicals on January 15th, and we are thrilled to have him for his first time on this show.
It is.
Mr. Kevin Bailey.
Wow.
Thanks, guys.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's all the time we have.
That's it. Wait, we're done. But it was great listening.
Well, I got to tell you, and obviously so many great parts, but to play the title role in Jekyll and Hyde, you're playing two title roles, really. I mean, you've got a lot of time on stage in that role.
So. That was one of the more exhausting roles to have. And you sort of become a hermit. I think anyone who's ever taken on that challenge knows that you're in for almost monkdom. It's
right.
Like, because there's just, it's just it is really a killer warhorse role to take on. So
yeah.
Just sort of.
You know, do you remember when you and I first met?
When we first
just
met.
Say yes. He's going to tell the story anyway. So.
Go ahead. Tell
it
me.
It was. I was there because I had a friend in the show, and it was out at Cabrillo Music Theater, and it was the Scarlet Pimpernel.
Ah, great, great
and
show.
What an amazing performance you did in that show.
That's another great. Another great. I know there's a lot of Wildhorn bashing, but I'm actually a fan. So
me
it's
too.
Like,
I agree. Falcon and the Dive. I mean, there's some great stuff going on.
That's true. When was that? That's been several years.
Indeed, several years. I think that's why I get the older gentleman status in this group of people that are coming out. I think that has to be like 10 years ago or so anyway.
Yeah, at least. Maybe a little longer.
Maybe even
let's
longer.
Let's talk about what you just said, the older gentleman status. You have these young'uns around you there, and not knowing how old they actually are, but have you started rehearsing? Are you in that process right
because
now?
I certainly have, because I had to pick a new song to do, but we're all sort of rehearsing independently, and we'll put it together, I assume, that afternoon on that Monday. So we're all working with music director.
Jen Lind.
Yes,
Lind.
Indeed.
So we're putting our three songs, you know, sort of under our own belts, and then we'll all come together on that Monday to...
So you've not been in a situation where you're all together doing one one song together.
Nope.
Well, I was going to ask you. Well, it'll give them the experience, and you know, learning from you and you from them. I think that's always what happens
when
a group sings like this.
I love to do nights like this. First of all, while I know several people that were performing that night, it's great to come together and do an evening like this. And the camaraderie is second to none when you put on, these one evening shows. So it's a blast.
Well, and we should tell people how to get tickets for this. And am I correct that Richard Israel is going to MC this?
Yes.
Crazy Richard Israel is going to MC. Yes.
My goodness. My goodness.
Getting him loose on stage.
So. Caustic little humor.
Again, Third Mondays is the show. And Third Mondays is part of the Foundation for New American Musicals, and this is going on at Sterling's upstairs at the Federal. Brown paper tickets. I believe tickets are as cheap as $25, which
is
pretty incredible.
Yeah. Steal.
And of course, you can go to brownpapertickets.com or you can call the great people there at 800-838-3006, that is an extension 1 for live customer service
24/7.
Unbelievable.
24/7. And they are the sweetest, kindest people at whatever hour of the night you might get them on the phone. They're there to help you and make your experience a good experience.
The same cannot be said about me. From like midnight until 5, I don't talk to people. I just turn off the phone. Don't call. My kid came in. No kidding. My kid came in and wanted something to drink and was carrying his cup, his little sippy cup. It's a big, heavy plastic cup, so it doesn't break. And I woke up just a couple nights ago, and he was trying to be very quiet, but the cup slipped out of his hand and hit me in the head. And I remember thinking, man, I did not sign up for this. What happened? He's like, I'm sorry, Dad. Can I have some juice? I'm like, go get it yourself, you little bum, man. Third Monday's coming up at Sterling's upstairs at the Federal. Tickets as cheap as $25. And again, that number is 800-838-3006, extension 1. Michael, what are the dates of that show?
January 15th. Just
one night
the
only.
Third Monday of each month.
It'll be the first.
The next 3 months.
This is the first one. So,
yeah.
And then it'll be the third Monday in February, third Monday in March, and hopefully we'll continue
beyond
that.
And hopefully spread that across the country, because there's a lot of theater towns that could benefit from this. You know,
well, we're also hoping that if somebody is touring through, performing at the Pantages, grab somebody, come on and do a Monday night.
Well, the John cast of Aladdin will be there at that point.
That's right.
Oh, that'd be great. That'd be great. Yeah. Well, and obviously this is something that we believe in so much because, as we said, it's not just a great show, and this will be a great show. These are great performers, but more importantly, it contributes to the collective legacy we have in the arts, which is probably the most important thing. If you don't know the Federal Bar and Grill, it's at 5303 Lancashire Boulevard in the NoHo Arts District, and of course they do food and beverage service. I had the Vanilla Manhattan three times over.
Well, that's downstairs. They have two dining rooms, right. And upstairs we have our own set up there, but that's where you had your Vanilla Manhattan.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Enjoyed the ISO. May have sipped on my wife's Bloody Mary a little bit as well. And I've tried all the drinks there.
So it's in the afternoon.
I'm a connoisseur. I like to be prepared for a good review, you know.
I say, I think it's a beautiful venue for this show. It's perfect for what we're doing.
No doubt about it.
It's intimate and classy, but it feels sort of new and old-fashioned at the same time.
It is a great venue to sing in, because you can virtually see the entire crowd from any vantage point. It's fantastic.
How many people, again?
It's a little over 100.
It's a really nice size.
It is. And when that room is filled, it's such an exciting place to be.
The only time it's exceeded our capacity is when an artist you may know him, Cortez Alexander.
Sure.
When Cortez came in and headlined, and his guest stars that were in his show, this was a Christmas show, were Alice and Janney.
Wow.
And one Liza Minnelli.
She's so great.
And we did not advertise either of those ladies' appearance in the show. Obvious reasons, especially with Miss Minnelli, because she's been known to change her mind about them. So,
never.
I will tell you, though, that she actually had promised him before and was unable to keep her promise, but she was there on that particular night.
Wow.
And I was assigned to kind of be her guy for the whole day of rehearsal and night, and boy, did I have fun.
Liza's guy.
I had fun. Goodness. But the interesting thing that happened was it was the first time she was in public after her back surgery. Ugh. She had come out here to do, and she lives out here now as well. Keeps a home out here.
Yeah.
And so that in itself started leaking through the audience when they realized that she was in the house.
Wow.
And before the show, the performance was over, I was getting texts on my phone from people in New York that had seen it on the news there, that she, and it wasn't footage from our show, was, her being in this public situation in Los Angeles. And then it spread out to all the newspapers when photos were being sent to newspapers and so forth. And we had 130 people that were packed in there like sardines.
Wow.
It's uncomfortable at that number, because the servers can't maneuver and it's difficult. But nobody complained.
No. I'll bet they didn't.
Because they were in the room of greatness,
Of course.
And Cortez certainly held his own with those ladies. And Alison Janney is a guest.
Oh, she's great. She's so great. Fat Men in Skirts. She was what an amazing performer.
Fantastic.
Kevin, obviously you've played so many iconic roles. Can you tell me real quickly what's on your future bucket list? Are there other shows that you're looking to do?
I just have the privilege of having twins who are reaching that point of going off to college. And so my bucket list is eventually to once they're actually ensconced there come this fall, is to get back to New York and spend a chunk of time there again. My bucket list is just open. I want to, I've had the pleasure of doing a few Broadway shows, and I'd like to get a few more under my belt before I happily retire back here in Southern California.
And, well, with two kids in college, you probably won't be retired anytime
soon,
brother.
I was saying to Michael Donovan next to me earlier, it's just like, I said, well, I'm going to eventually retire to Palm Springs, but I think I have 10 years of college payments ahead of me. So it's not going to happen before that.
The man you're listening to now is Kevin Bailey, and the show is Third Mondays again. begin this January 15th of this year. And of course, this is obviously a great way to start the new year. It's one night only. It's a Monday night, January 15th. You grab a date, you head out there, and you get there around 6:30, and the show starts about an hour later, and you will enjoy a really fantastic performance. Yeah.
8 o'clock. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if I just may brag about Mr. Kevin Bailey.
Please do.
He's extraordinarily talented. His voice is gorgeous.
So
you mentioned one of his credits, Abigail 1702, which I had the pleasure of casting him in.
Wow.
In which he played the devil. And my word
type
for him
casting.
Was he was delicious.
I'll bet.
I'm a good I'll bad bet. Guy.
That, yeah, well, with that, Scar,
that speaks,
too,
that,
right?
That speaks to my roles, the Scar, Scar the Grinch. And like I said, even in the show Michael and I met on, you know, it's like I just tend to play the good bad guy.
The good bad guy.
Because in real life, you are not that guy.
Not at all.
You know, it's a very diverse switch.
The sweetest, nicest guy. You're going to play these dark roles.
That's great.
Now, you know, you have a friend who you have produced that hit show for. It was Anne, if I'm not mistaken.
Holland
right?
Taylor's
Holland,
beautiful production.
Such an amazing
about
actress.
Governor Ann Richards.
Classy. I love this girl.
Yeah, she's fantastic. And we sold it a year ago, but for 14 years we had the wonderful NoHo Arts Center
yes,
in North
indeed.
Hollywood, where we also had the privilege of a season of doing Stage Star.
Which was great there, absolutely.
When Holland came to us now about 8 years ago through her agent, said, I want to work on this play, and my husband and partner, James Mellon, said, we'll bring it on, and we developed it at our little theater here right in North Hollywood, and then over a couple of years, it made its way all the way to the Vivian Beaumont Lincoln Center.
So how exciting. How exciting
great.
That is, right?
It was a great journey.
Like nothing else. Boy, oh boy, congratulations. We have come to that time, I think.
And now, embarrassing moments.
Gentlemen, you know what this means. Right?
Oh, yeah.
Did you prep them?
I gave them a little hint, yeah,
okay.
So they could be
thinking. Michael's so been here before, and he's done this.
Well, Michael doesn't have any embarrassing stories. Everybody comes in perfect for his casting sessions. He's never seen an error in a show.
Never.
Michael only lives in a perfect world. Do either of you have something that happened that maybe you either saw or were a part of where something went off the rails so much so that the performers probably had the right to run and hide but toughed through it, either you or someone else?
I got one.
Michael says I got
you
one
go
immediately.
First, I'll go second. Sure.
Commercial audition, the role is the clumsy painter. And so, you know, we set up ladders and all kinds of stuff. And we got dry paint cans, okay? And this one very enthusiastic physical performer went to do a very kind of funny bit. And the paint cans opened. And turned out they were not dry paint cans.
Oh, no.
And paint
no.
went. Wow. Everywhere, like all over the camera, all over the bugs, the walls. We had to completely shut the set.
That's an expensive audition.
Expensive. And he's like horrified.
Was he okay though?
Yeah, I mean, he was fine. It was very funny.
Now hold on, let's ask the question: did he
did
get the
he
role?
Get the part? No.
Oh, unbelievable! You know, he tells that from the other side. He says, "I did everything for them. I covered myself in paint that I'm still digging out of my ears. Right. What do I do?" That's so. Oh, what did you do? How did you react to the performer?
I felt bad.
What
for him.
You do.
There's nothing you could do. It wasn't his fault, you know. But
the poor next guy got such a benefit because he might have done the same thing, but he walked into a room that was pristine and perfect. How funny. Oh, my goodness.
That's great.
Kevin, you got anything for us?
Probably the one that sticks in my mind the most. When I was doing The Grinch down at the Old Globe, and part of what they let you do as The Grinch is go out and sort of abuse the audience. And just for a few minutes, you know, you sort of come down off the stage and go out into the chairs, and I always spend a few minutes sort of eyeing which person on the aisle is going to be my target. And so this one night, you know, there was a gentleman sitting on the aisle, and I will say he did not seem to be enjoying himself very much. It could have been because if you come to The Grinch, there's going to be a lot of kids there, they're having a great time, and maybe this person just was not in the holiday spirit yet.
Right.
He was indeed being his own Grinch. So I went down and came up to him and said, "What's your name?" And he didn't say anything. I said, "I'm not leaving until you tell me your name. I'm going to embarrass the hell out of you if you don't just get it." So he's like, "I'm not saying," and he said, "I'm not saying anything." And I just said, "Oh, this is going to be fun for me." Well, so I went on and on with him, and finally, he sort of, I won't say he like hauled off and clocked me one. But he sort of hit me. I mean, just like in my costume, which was a big padded green thing.
Right.
So it wasn't like he could possibly hurt me.
Wow.
But he hit me. So then I was like, you hit me. So I just sort of chucked him, like sweetly, like chucked him. And I said, you'd be the perfect person for the big green. So we went back and forth for a few minutes. Then I don't know that he just got the notion that we were, you know, I'm on my mic. So he sort of said in the kind of word we won't say on the
radio.
Oh,
my goodness.
Or in a family-friendly show. And I just said, oh, my. I said, you really are not happy, are you? And
his heart is three sizes too small.
He's three sizes. Oh, thank you. So this gentleman got up and walked out at this moment. And I was just like, and I was just sort of stunned and flabbergasted. And because most of the time, even the kids, everybody loves to play along in those.
Of course, you go to see that show.
He sort of walked up the aisle and left. And the best moment was there was a darling, beautiful young boy sitting next to him. And the kid got up as the gentleman was walking up the aisle, and he said, yep. That's my dad.
Oh, that was Cindy Lou Who. Oh, my goodness.
And so I said, what's your name? And I think his name was Timmy or something.
The kid stayed?
The kid stayed. And I said, are you having fun? He said, I'm having a blast, Mr. Grinch. And I just said, it was one of those moments because it was just this big egg moment for me. And then he said, and then it turned out to be beautiful. And the audience, of course, loved the kid.
Of course.
Anyway, it was just one of those moments. It was a bit of a train wreck because I did the show like 1,000 times over 3 years.
And that always happened. Happens when it's like one performance.
Horrific. I mean, it's just like, how am I going to get out? Like I said, when he sort of chucked me, I was like, oh my, you actually just hit me.
What she didn't know is one of the other guys who had auditioned for the Grinch and was just mad that he didn't get the role sitting there for, I'm going to watch this guy come talk to me, buddy.
More importantly, you think he could have done it for his kid.
The holidays are such a hard time for some people. They just can't pull themselves out of that.
Kid.
That is, I've seen that. You know, it's funny. I mean, that is our job, hopefully, is to deliver joy to people. And some people will stand up against it. You know,
and like sitting fourth row on the aisle, it's like, wow, didn't you show up for a good time? And apparently he did not.
He was the dude there rooting for the Grinch to win. Like, no, go Grinch.
I hope he eats Cindy Lou Who.
the B-side of the DVD, you know, the special features alternate ending. Well, I got to say, this is obviously one of the things that we love here on the show is talking to performers about stuff that happened. But what good things ahead in 2018? Obviously, this show, Third Mondays, is one we want people to get out and see. Find something great. Go see a live performance because you never know what can happen. And more than that, you never know what you can give to someone else and what doors you can open up for future possibilities.
Absolutely. Yeah. Guys, thank you so much for taking time out of your day today.
Thanks for having us.
Give them a big round of applause.
Great. Absolutely.
And this sounds like such a great project, and thank you guys for what you're delivering to the arts here in Southern California.
And thanks for what you guys do.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
It's very really important. Fantastic.
Much again, the name of the show is Third Mondays, and you can check out the Foundation for New Musicals,
New American Musicals,
and just find their website there and go check them out. You'll find out of a lot of great things going on. Go visit Sterling's upstairs at the Federal on January 15th to see the first edition of what we hope are many more to come.
And it's a 6:30 doors, ladies and gentlemen, and fabulous food and drinks between 6:30 and 8 p.m. 8 p.m. is the performance time, and that lasts, it's an hour show. So you'll be having a great weekday night to start off the rest of your week and hear some fantastic music from these fabulous performers.
That's right. So obviously, Michael, it's great to see you in the new year. Good
Thank
to see you,
you
looking
and you
well
too.
And healthy. And I wanted to
Thanks.
Say real quick, yeah. last 2 years on this show with you have been the most fun I've had in a long, long time.
Really?
So that's right, man.
Very kind.
Let's hope that everybody has a great start to the new year. Stay safe out there, listeners. My name is Andrew David James.
And I'm Michael Sterling, and we'll see you on the radio.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Andrew David James, only on LA Talk Radio.